of your feet. On the upbeat, so come on and dance with me. Cause life is bitter, life is sweet, and it's got you on the edge of your seat. But you know that life is better, it's always better on the upbeat.
Every step you take, I'll be watching you. I am Matt Vest, and this is On the Upbeat. And with me, as always, is Mr. RJ Phoenix.
Hey, everybody. My name is RJ Phoenix. I do two things. I drink Mountain Dew, and I talk to ska folks. And today, I had a Mountain Dew Baja Caribbean Splash. Wait a minute, RJ. That was a summer limited only drink. What are you drinking? A summer drink in November? It's not summer there. Well, I'll tell you where it is summer. That'd be down in Australia, just like our guest today. It's Steve from the band The Resignators. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Woohoo, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? And it is summer. Well, it's actually
it's a late spring, a week, right?
So yeah, it's getting close.
Yeah.
It's warming up. Yeah. Now, but I tell you, you'd be sorely disappointed if you came to visit, because Mountain Dew products are in short demand here. I actually searched them out in specialty stores, specialty American food stores, to get my Dr. Pepper or my Mountain Dew or my Reese cups. Oh, God. Oh,
hell yeah. Look,
that was a rough one, adjusting to that one. I actually made my own for a while to get by on that. But I don't have the recipe for Mountain Dew. I do have one, but it's my grandfather's recipe for moonshine, so it wouldn't quite be the same.
Yeah, I was stunned when I found out that, like, Mountain Dew was a, I think it's a term for moonshine.
Moonshine, right? Yeah.
Moonshine. Oh, yeah. That's where it came from. That, and there used to be another one back in my grandmother and grandfather's refrigerator in Chattanooga, Tennessee. There was another one, I think, that might have even come out before Mountain Dew, called Kickapoo Joy Juice.
Kickapoo
Joy. And that was taken from the Little Abner comics.
Yeah, we had that down where I grew up. You could find some Kickapoo Joy juice every once in a while in the rural Midwest still. Yeah, in the green bottle. Hell
yeah.
Where'd
you grow up?
I grew up in Peoria, Illinois. It's a couple hours south of Chicago, but just cornfields as far as the eye can see.
Oh, I've been through there. I know that one.
Yeah. Awesome. So, Steve, how are things going for you? How was your last weekend? How are things?
Things are pretty good. We had our album launch last weekend in a club in Melbourne. It's always nice when a newish venue comes along and does it right. And we have some of our favorites down there, the Corner Hotel. There's some really, really nice venues, but it's a big city and it's a music city. And there's a new one called Leadbetters. And our friends, the Bennies, had played a show there last month and said it was really good. And so we had our album launch there, and it was a beautiful stage, beautiful production, great sight lines, perfect for, the kind of size crowd we would draw, and a very attentive sound man, which is like a blessing. You know, we don't have our own sound guy. We're often at the mercy of the club, and you know, it might be a metal guy, or it might be, whatever, that really doesn't know that we want the horns out there like a lead instrument, or, that sort of thing. So it was a great weekend. We did a big old special event. We had a couple of other Melbourne bands join us. And one of them, it was their debut, and they did really well for a debut. I think it was a debut 2 years in the making, so it wasn't without a forethought there. A band called the Kitty Hawks. And, we're a pretty small ska scene here in Australia. There's stuff keeps popping up, and there's a few bands that have been around for ages, the Porkers and Area 7. But it's not like America, that's for sure. It's, we have a smaller population, a lot less cities, and the ska scene, while it may be on and up, hasn't gotten as far up as I see it happening in America or Japan or Mexico these days. So we do the best with what we've got here.
Well, it sounds like you all are doing great. It sounds like you had a good show, and that's awesome. So, yeah, and we'll talk more about all that stuff in a few minutes. But, RJ, how was your weekend? How are things going for you?
This weekend was fantastic. So I may have mentioned once or twice how big of a fan of wrestling that my wife is. This weekend in Los Angeles, AEW had their pay-per-view called Full Gear, and she bought crazy close tickets for me and her because she's like, you need to at least go to one where we're down on the floor close to the ring. Like, you need to have one of these, honey. I'm taking you. I'm showing you why I love wrestling so much. And, you know, I can't argue with that. If she wants to spend that kind of cash to show me a good time, I'm going to let her. And, oh boy, there was some moments where I was stood up the entire time, mouth open, saying, what the fuck? Like, just watching it happen. Now, I always, like, gave her the benefit. I was like, I know you like this. It's cool. I support you liking this. I think this is probably the second time in my life with her that I've been like, no, I really get it. I'm not going to be super into this, but I see what you see in this. And it was, it was a good time. And then the following night, we went to a magic show hosted by a guy who does a ring announcement for wrestling. And we actually saw he was one of the announcers the night before down in Santa Monica. And he put on a killer magic show, a lot of mentalism stuff. And a lot of like, I don't even know how he pulled that off. So, yeah, Nigel McGuinness, magic, crazy, crazy wrestling. Yeah, it was my big wrestling weekend. And because Turnabout is fair play, she's going to come see me. She's going to come see the Slackers and Voodoo Glow Schools with me next month. So, you know, show each other our worlds. Yeah.
Yay.
Fair and fair.
Yeah. How about you, Matt? Did you do anything fun this weekend?
Nothing nearly as exciting as either one of you. I was pretty much home all
week. Did you hold up any signs?
No. We weren't on the camera side. We were on the other side, but we got to see all the celebrities that came to see because that's where they sit, so they're not on camera, so people don't see them. Ken Jeong was there. The Green Arrow, Steve Amell was there. Rick Rubin, record producer. Yeah, it was a good time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Star-studded event. Now, do they pass out the scripts beforehand or after?
No. See, it's just a loose outline with the predetermined outcome. I don't know if you know this about Matt, about wrestling. Like some wrestlers like to plan out the move to the T before they go in. Other people call it like, because they know who's going to win, but they're like, this is what we're going to do, and they call it while they're wrestling. Oh. It is crazy.
They're whispering, okay, now throw me into each other's ears.
More shorthand language. Yeah. Sure. But there is one wrestler, her gimmick right now, she's an old time crazy starlet. And sometimes she will come out with a script and try to hand it to the other wrestler.
it is what it is, right? I didn't really do much this weekend. I was kind of a stay at home. Really nothing happened this weekend. Nothing.
Just chilled out with the family. That's still a good weekend, dude.
Yeah. I mean, we did, me and the kids, I think it was Friday night. We watched the latest Spider-Man movie, Far From Home. No Way Home. I had seen it. The kids had not. So that was a good time for them.
There you go.
And it was a good time for me, too, because I hadn't seen it since it came out. And I actually really enjoyed that movie. So, yeah, it was pretty much low-key weekend. And, all right. So enough of chit-chat. Now let's get into...
Sick of hearing about RJ and wrestling.
Let's get into some ska news. Here we go. Rude girls and rude boys, too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I'm sorry, you might have heard, but damn it, you're about to miss me in Ska News. Yes, Ska News, where we tell you about the latest releases and all the cool things happening, at least that we can fit into this small little segment. So first up, we're going to talk about the fact that Madness, yes, that's right, you heard me, Madness has a new record out. Came out November 17th, and it is called Theater of the Absurd Presents C'est La Vie. You can pre-order physical copies from madness.co.uk. And the album, of course, is streaming everywhere now. So we're going to listen to a clip of a song off the album. We're going to listen to what I guess you would call the title track. It's the song called C'est la vie. So here we go.
At 5 to 8, no time to waste, it will not wait. A lay-in that was yesterday, up a matter into the fray. There'll be no time to catch your breath, the enemy of life is dead. So sweep the hallway, mop the wall, your destiny's about to cool. Stations in the back, justice, a toothless old hat. It's every man now on his own, it's all for one. You better run and stand up to against the wall, and one by one you all shall fall.
So yeah, that's a new Madness song that's out now, new Madness record. And like I said, it is streaming everywhere, and of course you can order a vinyl copy. Actually, other all physical. I think they do have cassettes. I think they have CDs as well.
Ooh.
And you can order that once again at madness.co.uk. And RJ, what do you got?
Today I have a live album from the band Scapital Sound. Man, why did that take me a while to spit out? Scapital Sound put out a new album. It's called Para Ustedes. It is a new live album from them. They've been around for quite a while, and they've always been cranking out some good songs. And this live album is really good. I really enjoyed it. So here is a track I wanted to share with you so you get a good sense of their sound and how tight they are live. The name of the song is called Rude Girl.
La siguiente canción va para todas las mujeres que vinieron esta noche. Para todas las mujeres con actitud. Rude Girl! Rude Girl. Vaya pa' algunos ni siquiera bonita. Pero si hay sombra es por su luz, y es que le sobra actitud. Siempre vestida de manera sencilla, blusa, cuadros, botas y mezclilla. No tiene miedo.
That sounds really good, RJ.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun. So if you haven't checked out Scapital Sound in general, do that. But definitely check out this live record. It's a lot of fun.
All right, well, speaking of live records, that's what I have, too, from The Toasters. On November 17th, The Toasters released a new live record called Men in Underwear, live at Mad Butcher. The album features 11 classic Toasters tracks. You can get physical copies from Mad Butcher Records. And the album, of course, is streaming everywhere now, but we're going to listen to the classic song Two-Tone Army from the Toasters, but this is a live version. Here we go.
System, I knock it down with a 90 spin out of 60 sound. Skater pants, 60 suits, skinny ties and skinny boots. It's a lifestyle that is hard to recruit. All about culture, all about root. Two-Tone Army,
go ahead, go ahead.
Two-Tone Army,
go ahead, go ahead.
Two-Tone Army,
go ahead.
That, of course, is the live version of Two-Tone Army by The Toasters. And their new live album is available now.
Last, last week was a big week for live albums. So we had the two that we mentioned. German band Feine Sahne Fischfilet put out a live record of their most recent album. And the band from the UK, Instincts Take Over, put out the recording of them at the Big 112. So, yeah, just if you like live ska, you were spoiled with riches last week.
You know, what are your general thoughts? I know this isn't like a discussion, but I know some people really don't like live albums, RJ, in like a simple...
I will listen to them once. If I really like the band, I will buy it for my collection. I will not buy live albums on vinyl, only CD.
Okay. All right.
Because I like it to be uninterrupted. And so like a vinyl, you're going to have to stop. You're going to have to flip that thing at one point. The CD, you do get like 70 minutes worth of music. So if it's a short set, you're golden.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of depends on the album and the recording of it. It really does whether or not I like it. Sometimes I'm like, look, we don't need to hear the crowd yelling the entire time. Like we don't like lessen them while you're playing. Because there are some times where it's like the crowd is nearly as loud as the guitar. Like, why? Like, I get it. You're live. You don't need it. Only need the crowd maybe when in between songs do I need to hear the crowd. Otherwise, I just want to hear. And then my world was shattered when I discovered live albums aren't really that live.
Some are overdubbed. Yeah.
It ruins it.
Yeah, it do. That's why sometimes I don't mind maybe not the most professional sounding recordings because I know they're probably not overdubbed.
Speaking of live music and definitely not overdubbed, I can guarantee it because they didn't have enough time to do it. You should check out our live episode with Chase Longbeach.
Oh, yeah.
That was recorded on a Saturday. It was in my hands by Tuesday, and I know for a fact they did not overdub anything. They may have messed with the mix a little, but there was no overdubbing for sure. So I actually think it turned out great. All right, and of course, we do want to mention our Patreon, patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. You know the deal. We tell you every week. $4 a month gets you at least 2 bonus episodes, access to a private Facebook page, and discounts on merch. And who doesn't like discounts on merch? And we say 2 episodes at least a month, but a lot of times it's 3, and a lot of times it's even 4. So make sure you check that out. All right, Steve, let's chat. Steve, so you play
guitar. All right.
so you play guitar in the Resignators. How did you get into playing the guitar?
In general?
Yeah.
Guitar in general?
Yeah.
That's a kind of a strange story because I started on clarinet in the 5th grade in Pittsburgh, and my orthodontist there told my mother that if I played clarinet, my teeth would end up with an overbite, and I had to switch instruments. And at that point I said, well, there's this band, the Beatles, and they're using guitars. I think I'd like a guitar. And she said, well, go get one. And I said, how do I do that? She goes, you've got money. I had a paper route in Pittsburgh. It was like the biggest Pittsburgh press paper route in the whole city because we were the first to move into a new neighborhood and I got all the customers and it was a fast growing neighborhood. So I had, at like 5th grade, I had like $3,000 in the bank, didn't know it. So I went down and bought a Sears Silvertone guitar. And that was the beginning of that. I've since played clarinet again, and my teeth are just fine, by the way. I don't regret that decision switching over because, you know, although, you know, clarinet has its place, I think guitar is a little more versatile for what I want to do. So. So I've been playing guitar literally, I was trying to calculate this the other day, 55 years now.
Wow.
So,
awesome. That's awesome. And you were right. You did not undersell it by saying it's kind of an interesting story. That story had twists and turns that I did not see coming. Least of all, the fact that a trip to the dentist played a part in you learning guitar. Like, that's awesome.
I never had to have braces, so maybe, you know, it saved me that. I don't know, you know. And who will know at this point?
And look, I don't like to talk about money much, but like you had $3,000 in the bank when you were in fifth grade.
I know. And I didn't even know it because I just did this every day. I didn't even think of the fact that it was earning me money. Mom kept the books, you know. I did the collection through the little things in there. And, you know, not to mention all the cookies I got and stuff like that collecting. You know, so,
it was
a great first job. There was moments, I mean, it was Pittsburgh. There was moments in the winter on like a Sunday where it would take me three trips in my staved up wagon because the papers were so thick to up and down hills through snow over my head to get the paper out. But
you were like the mailman.
Yeah.
Whether it's raining or snowing, I'm delivering your paper.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And back then we had milkman, so I think I was like the milkman too.
Oh, but yeah.
I didn't get to drive a truck though.
Well, you were only in fifth grade, so yeah, but it also was a different time in general, so you know.
Yeah, it was.
So we're going to skip ahead a bunch of years. And so how did you end up in the Resignators?
I moved to Australia 18 years ago. I'd just gotten divorced and my kids were getting out of school and stuff like that. So I didn't need to be as close by after the divorce. And I came and played a music festival here in Australia. And really kind of fell in love with not only the country, but a specific Australian girl who I married, so who plays in the band with me, so Stacy. And that, you know, it was time for a big change. I was in Richmond at that time, and I'd been there, Richmond, Virginia. I'd been there like 22 years, and was running the club, running the record label, been in, I don't know, 10 bands there. I felt like it had kind of run its route, and it was time for something entirely different, and that it was. It was, you know, it's life-changing to sell off almost everything you have and pack up and take one suitcase and a guitar, literally halfway around the world, and kind of start over again. But once I got here, we had and still have a kind of alt country Americana band that Stacy and I play together called the Family Farm. That's kind of our local play down at the pub for a meal and do some weddings and stuff like that. But I got a call from Francis, the singer for the Resignators, that they needed a new guitarist, and threw my head in the ring and initially didn't get it. And then about a year later, I didn't even get an audition. About a year later, I got the call again saying, that guy didn't work out. You want to try again? And I did. And basically, I listened to the music. I loved it. And I said, well, if you got room for my wife to play sax and keys, sure, let's do it. And so that was, I think that was about 12 to 13 years ago. And, you know, we've been doing that ever since. And it's very satisfying. I know I listened to, what are their names, Mitchie and Mike with Mega Infinity. And we see it with Cat Bite, with Brittany and Tim. It's interesting being married to a person in a band together or being in a band with a person you're married to. It works for us. We've literally in 13 years never had an issue, you know, with that. And you don't ever have to worry about being away from, you know, your loved one. So you get to share those experiences and that sort of thing. So I'm a big advocate of that. I don't think it would work for everyone, but it sure works for us, and it seems to work for others as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I can't even work on a project usually with my wife. Like the most,
because she likes wrestling and you like the Slackers.
Yeah. Like we tried to.
Now, if you combine the ska and the wrestling, which could happen. I mean,
it's famous
wrestling back in the days. There was a guy in Montreal that did the Canadian Rock Wrestling League, where he put a bunch of us, myself included, Dave McQuain was in there, a couple of mustard players were in there, where it's animated. I guess it's like game theory stuff. I don't know how it works because I don't play games, but we became wrestlers and wrestled each other with, you know, a probability outcome. So you never knew who was going to win. And we had special moves and stuff. It was really fun to watch. Stacy was in it too. She actually won the women's championship by beating the girls from Bad Cop, Good Cop, Bad Cop, or whatever.
Bad Cop, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody else in the league. I made it to the semifinals. I can't remember who beat me, but you know, it was always nice, like watching yourself in the ring and wondering what's going to happen. Although sometimes when the girls were beating hard on Stacy, I would get a little upset, like, "What are you doing? You know, punching my wife? You know, that sort of thing."
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's awesome.
That's but, fun. All
right.
They can't. There is some universe somewhere where there is ska wrestling. I have no doubt.
Oh,
there's a show out here called Lucha Underground for a while. There's a bunch of luchadors.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Voodoo Glow Skulls were the house band on that show. So right there.
And I think Guar's old manager, Liz, who lives out there, she manages a couple of the wrestlers and is involved in that. And yeah, wrestling, I mean, Mexican wrestling mask. Who can't, you know, what's not to like about those?
Yeah, those guys are crazy.
So recently the Resignators released a new album, Rabbit Hole. What can you tell us about this new record? You know, how did it come
together? Well, it was, we did it ourselves, a lot like I think the guys from Flying Raccoon Suit did as well. I did all the production and mixing and stuff, which was both a blessing and a curse. It was a huge effort, but it was a blessing in the sense that I have nobody to blame if there's something I don't like about it, and I'm very happy with it. It was done, a lot of us, like you know, Dave was talking about from Mustard Plug on your show, we had a long time to work on songs, and I think that's one reason there's a huge you know, output of new material from ska bands and bands in general right now, is everybody had that extra time to, during COVID to, you know, create. And that was about all we could do is create. And, we did it literally right here. And I have great mics and preamps, and, you know, there's today with the technology and the computers and the speed, there's really nothing you can't do at home if you take the time and do the studying and the learning of how to do that. And there was a lot of that, how do I adjust this, you know, that sort of thing. But we did it here and we're really happy with it. The songs were, like I said, written over the course of 2 years and kind of reflect what we all went through during that time a bit. You know. There is an underlying theme, of course, with the Alice in Wonderland and the Rabbit Hole.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the album artwork, because I looked at it, I was like, I started looking, you know, because the main little character that's on the front, you know, yeah, it kind of looks like the Mad Hatter, but in and of itself, not really. But then I started looking at the other little characters, smaller, you know, in the background. I'm like, there's a caterpillar, there's a cat, there's a rabbit.
Starts to tell the story.
Yes, it does.
And those characters populate the album. You know, I kind of, you know, think of it as a bit of a ska rock opera, you know, around, you know, the experience of Wonderland. And it was a great book. Let's face it. It's hard to beat. You know, I reread it about 5 times and watched every movie adaptation of it during the course of this making. But those characters that populate it were actually characters out of our lives. And so there's, despite the fact it's a wonderland, there's a lot of truth there too, a whole lot of truths. And yeah, the guy that did the cover for that, the cover was done before the album was done.
Oh, really?
First time that's ever happened for us. And that was done by Steve Kitchen with Combination 13 up in Vancouver, who's done posters for us before. And literally, it was the first time artwork's ever been sent to us where we went, that's it. No revisions necessary. Perfect. And he's just wonderful. I love the colors too, the pastels. And, you know, we've had dark colors or reggae colors, or we're not really a checkerboard kind of band. I think those colors suited it beautifully. I'm working on a new video right now for the first track on the album, and working with that color palette in a kind of a Japanese theme, which is kind of cool. But yeah, I'm happy with the record. It's out. We're working on getting it available for you guys over there, because it costs so much to send a record from Australia. So Ska Punk International said they'll take it, and talking to Chris there, getting that all together, and hopefully it'll be available there. It'll take us a while to get the vinyl manufactured, because we'll do it over there.
Right.
It costs, literally, we priced sending vinyl from here. It costs the same to send vinyl as it does to repress new vinyl over there.
Wow.
So it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Wow.
But in the meantime, it's on all the streaming platforms, so everybody can pick it up. And a lot of people, we had advanced copies at Supernova, so a lot of folks there they claimed us out, were able to pick it up. It's also available, I know cassettes are nice and stuff, but it's also available on a limited edition pocket watch with a USB stick, which has
rad
8 gigs of video on it, and still has 8 gigs free for you to put whatever else you want on it. So
awesome.
And it's actually a real wind up Alice in Wonderland pocket watch off Alibaba. And it's pretty cool.
That is awesome.
We took like 30 of those to Supernova, and they sold out the first day. And
awesome.
I was pretty happy with that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So thinking outside the box, you know.
Yeah.
But I would like a cassette. I will buy a new cassette player if Ska Punk International puts it on cassette. So.
Well, Chris definitely loves putting out cassettes, so I think that's a possibility.
I know he does. Yeah. Yeah.
But,
and so look for that in the coming months.
Yeah. Awesome. But right now we're going to listen to a song off the album, the song Final. What can you tell us about
Finale.
It? Finale. Sorry.
First of all, it's Finale.
Finale.
Yeah. I chose that song as tribute to my mom. That was written about my mom. She passed away right as we were starting to write for the new album. And of course, she was a great lady. She's always supported my music. A wonderful person. And I was not at home when I got that call. I was away in Cairns, which is kind of a like our Miami or something. And I was staying in a Airbnb there, and I got the call. Mom had passed away. And to kind of ease my pain, I watched the Disney movie Coco. And in that movie, Miguel, as he goes through his Day of the Dead stuff, they talk about how you never really die until the last person that remembers you dies. And so that's what inspired it all, because I think we'll keep her memory alive. And we lost a lot of other friends. Everybody has in the last couple of years, whether, you know, I didn't lose any personally to COVID, but just to cancer, to stupid mistakes, to poor lifestyles, to whatever. When you get as old as I, more friends start dying on like a weekly basis. And I just figure they all deserved a song. So, yeah, that's Finale. Lay such a heavy one on you. That one's kind of a ska can be like fun and light, but sometimes like the new Mustard Plug, sometimes it gets a little deep and heavy, and you know, I just wanted my mom Lois Douglas to have that song. So
it's beautiful, it's awesome.
Hey, it's all good, dude. One of the things I've always liked and respected about ska is, you know, you write the music to dance, but you write the lyrics for whatever you want to write about.
Well, whatever you want to. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And I think a lot of us I know it's been mentioned a few times by different bands on the show, different people. And I know for me, like, I was attracted to ska because it sort of had this upbeat, very happy vibe, and then when you listen to the lyrics, it was either like sarcastic or something painful that someone went through, like, and yeah, of course there are very happy ska songs, no doubt about that, but there was, so that sort of like mixing and meshing of those things clashing with this very happy bright sound mixed with lyrics that maybe weren't that, they were maybe a little darker,
or, and let's let's face it, in Jamaica, when ska, you know, came around, first there was a lot of joy for that independence that came shortly thereafter. But at the same time, there was some deep suffering and poverty, and you know, and no matter where you are, the heartbreak of love, you know, that's universal. But even further back than ska with Calypso, those songs were a way to, for, you know, people who were enslaved to try and find some joy in life, you know, and to, and yet the subject matter was often about what they were going through,
right,
you know, before they danced. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. So it's, so you're following the tradition. So yeah, it's good.
You know, ska, there's so many ways we can ska, if we use it as a verb. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I like them all. And, you know, whenever people like, you know, get segregated, like, oh, that's not two-tone enough, or that's not punk enough, or that's not trad enough, it's just all part of a big package that really is all valid as long as heart and soul are put into it, you know. And it doesn't matter what angle you're coming from or what it ends up sounding like. If it's true and it's soulful, then it's good.
Yeah, awesome. So I noticed, you know, that you have been traveling quite a lot. Some to the
States. Oh, I do.
And you,
I like to do that.
It seems like a main focus, at least lately, has been ska. You mentioned coming out to Supernova. Where else have you been where you saw some ska recently?
That was just last month, and it was just the most amazing time. Basically, we came back from Supernova. We had budgeted travel money for years because we were in lockdown here for 2.5 years. We could not leave the country, period.
Yeah.
And we like to travel. We've toured overseas 17 times in the last 12 years with the Resignators. We love to travel. You know, I love languages. I love cultures. No matter where I go, I seem to find something to enjoy out of it. But we came back from America and we didn't spend all the money that I'd allotted for that. So Cat Bite got announced their tours with Hay Smith and Kill Lincoln over in Japan. And literally, like, I turned to my wife and said, we've got enough to go. Should I book it now? And she said, yeah. And we hauled off to Japan, where we got to visit. We worked in Japan for 3 years together, Stacy and I, before the Resignators. The 3 years before I was in Australia, before the Resignators, playing music on a Mark Twain-style riverboat in a holy city outside of Kyoto on this lake. And we were Showtime. So there was these Japanese dancers and MCs, but then they'd bring us, they'd go, and it's Showtime this, and they'd bring us out from behind the curtain. And I am probably, pictures of us are probably in like 90% of Japanese family photo albums. It was a big Japanese tourist family thing to do. And, you know, we were esteemed there. When I would go through customs, they'd say, oh, shigoto wa Michigan desu ne. And they would bow lower because we were musicians on the Michigan boat. We were there 3 years. One of the Cat Bite shows was in our little hometown. And there's this Japanese expression called furusato, which is, it means hometown, but it really means more than that. It's a nostalgic feeling. It's Japanese have a lot of words for concepts that would be hard for us to describe in a Western language. But we went to our hometown and saw Cat Bite, which was just phenomenal, and Kill Lincoln and Hay Smith. And this is it's what would be considered a small Japanese town, but it's like, I don't know, 800,000 people, but in the little local live house, which is what the Rive House, which is what a venue is called there, it was about 400 capacity. And we stayed in this beautiful little Airbnb that this eccentric architect had put together with his family. And it was magical. And, you know, of course, Cat Bite hooked us up with backstage passes and blah, blah, blah. And we got to meet Hay Smith, which the first night I ever saw him became my favorite ska band, period. They were absolutely phenomenal. So it was like flipping a switch. And you guys played their new album, and I think we're going to play something later. But they're really special. They're really, really nice guys. Very humble, considering they're pretty much rock stars over there, and very approachable. I can speak Japanese unbelievably. I don't know how in the world I can speak Japanese, but I can pretty well, pretty conversational. So I was able to, you know, chat with them and get a lot out of it, understand some of the Japanese lyrics, and even though they sing a lot in English as well. So, yeah, we went to Japan and saw Cat Bite, and then we went to Kyoto and spent a night there, and then went the next night to Osaka to A. Smith's hometown, where they added Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra on the bill, and that was just even bigger. It was I heard you guys talking about the crowds in one of the other shows. I think it was in the Flying Wreckage Suit show or somewhere.
Yeah.
There was 1,400 people there sold out.
Wow.
And they were, the crowd goes absolutely mad for them. They're in sync. They have crowd surfing. Kenny and from Cat Bite, Drew from Kill Lincoln, and Ume from Kill Lincoln were all out crowd surfing with the guys, and really well behaved yet really intense crowd. Huge circle pits, but picking people up all the time and apologizing, you know, that kind of thing. So that was quite an experience. I almost went back to see them with Voodoo Glow Skulls this last weekend. I was on the fence. I mean, it's great to experience what they have there. And, you know, the same thing's happening in Mexico. You know, Out of Control Army and Inspector and Panteon Rococo, they're pulling, you know, 20,000 people like that, all just going mad for ska. America's on and up. Don't get me wrong. Supernova was well attended, and you know, there's more and more happening there. But to see it happening in these unique cultures is really cool.
And
so
to see so many people at those places.
Oh,
that kind of don't.
Oh, it was amazing.
That don't have the hang-ups that American audiences do about their music.
I'm sure they have their own set of hang-ups, I didn't witness much of that. They were just people out, and it was a wide range of ages. Literally in Osaka, Tim got me like seat AA11, which was first row in the balcony, which is just this phenomenal seat. So I didn't have to endure the pit at 67 years old, because it was pretty intense on the floor.
Yeah.
And behind me was a family with like a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, and grandma, and you know, the parents. And you know, to see that kind of you know, engagement there was pretty cool. You know, I was able to chat with the little kids, which instrument do you like best, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
And they were dancing, the whole time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great to be able to see.
That's awesome, Steve.
So
and I will continue to travel. There's no doubt about that.
That's great. It's great that you're able to. Yeah. So before we head out, I just, you know, what do the Resignators, you know, have coming up? Do they have anything between now and the end of the year, show wise, or?
We have a big, big one coming before the end of the year. Francis, our singer, does the he organizes the biggest ska festival in Australia, which is called Ska Nation. It's you know, not as big as Supernova or, you know, a single A. Smith show, but it is a long running. It's been 10 years, I think it's been going. My first show was it. So it's been, I think there's been 10 of them over 13 years because COVID, we couldn't do anything. This year, Mad Caddies are coming, and the Bennies, which is one of my favorite Australian ska bands. Area 7, which is keeps doing their, they were an older ska band, established ska band that keeps it alive still with not that frequent but regular shows. They're playing, and the Melbourne Ska Orchestra, which is always a delight to see. There, Nicky Bamba, who runs that show, he played percussion on one of the tracks on our record. And Pete Mitchell, their baritone player, played on it as well because baritone saxes are too expensive to buy one for my wife. She keeps hinting, but they're pricey. Yeah, it could happen someday, you know, that windfall.
So what is the date on that? What's the date on the
show? That is, oh, God. It's about a month away. It's the 16th of December.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's good for us for holiday times. You got to remember, Christmas for us is no winter wonderland. It's, you know, Santa comes in surfing. So it's a good time of the year to do it. And it's out in the country. It's at a kind of a showgrounds kind of place. Close enough that Melbourneites can drive to easily. There's camping, that sort of thing. And that's called Ska Nation. And, yeah, there's still tickets available for that. It won't sell out because of the size of the venue that the showgrounds is at. Awesome. And I'm pretty excited about seeing the Mad Caddies. You know, I've been listening to them more lately than I did previously because they're coming. And they go in a lot of different directions, which I like.
Yeah, they sure do. That sounds like a fun show. And California also does not have a winter wonderland, really.
No, you're right. Right.
Well,
it just like rains a little more.
It just yeah, there's a chance of.
And like us, you're pretty remote, too. You know, it's almost as hard for an East Coast band to get to California as it is to Australia.
Yeah.
We've had a bunch of bands down. You know, Mustard Plug almost became Australian because literally they got the last flight out before the COVID lockdown. And I think Mark lost his passport and we had to chase it down. And we barely got him out in time. I'm glad Dave likes Vegemite because he could have been eating it every morning. You know? And we brought Cat Bite down. They had a great tour and nicest guys in the world. And, you know, we continue to try, and Toasters have been down, you know, speaking of man in underwear, I've seen Bucket in underwear and he has nice legs, you know, so,
awesome.
He's the only band that we've brought down that's actually seen a live koala, other than in a zoo. Right. So, cause they're kind of shy. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to jump into Ska Picks of the Week. Steve, why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
We were just talking about that. It is Hey Smith. I'm repping their shirt today. I can't get enough of them. This song, there's a lot of great songs on their new album, Rest in Punk, but this song just kept getting me. In fact, after the Osaka show, a strange Japanese girl kidnapped Stacy and I, said, come to my bar and drink. So we did. And we sang karaoke. And she said, what do you want to sing? And I said, I just want to sing Hey Smith. And she pulled up this song, which is absolutely impossible for me to sing because Yuji hits notes that, you know, sound almost inhuman in their altitude there. But it's, it, for something about this song, it touches me deep inside. I don't know. But it's Say My Name by Hay Smith.
Say my name.
That's a good song, and the album's pretty good too. And yeah, they've definitely been a favorite of mine over the last couple of years.
The video is awesome.
Yeah,
the official video, you can actually see Yuji San's face, like as he hits those high notes, just straining to hit them. And Japanese Sky is pretty amazing. Chris Malone, I know the pandemic's and I talk about it a lot, and we turn each other on the bands. Right before COVID, the Resignators got to tour over there, and we got to see a lot of those bands. Mason's Party, who's are on Ska Punk International, and there's a lot of ska bands. It's not just Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra. There's just dozens and dozens, and they get quite a bit of support, you know, from the Japanese people, so it's very cool.
Awesome. All right, so my ska pick of the week is from the band Title Holder, and this record is one of my favorite records of the year. I'm not saying that officially, you know, we will eventually put out an
official. Yeah, don't give it away, Matt. Don't give it away.
It's definitely, you know, it's punching, it's definitely in the ring for one. It's off the album, What Better Time. This is the song, Far Away From Today. Let's check it out.
Say my name.
That is not the same song, and I should push this button instead.
Oh, man.
Back then, I did everything that they told me that I had to do if I want to live. A big decision, everybody said it would haunt me. It's funny now, they all look like they're the walking dead. I'm making my way, carving out a notch for a place that I can stay with all my friends. Know I've got a feeling, something that's pulling me away. I've gotta make this count for something. There's not much left to say. Just get me far away.
So yeah, that's Far Away From Today from Title Holder. And yeah, RJ, what is your ska pick?
So, once again, RJ likes foreign ska, and he can't always pronounce everything he needs to introduce a band or a song or an album. So, let's go with this one. The name of the band is, I believe, Slonoff. They are from Croatia. They recently put out a new album called, actually their debut album called, Chue Mose. The lead single off of it is a song called Pizza. Haha, I got that one right. And I really enjoyed it, so I figured that I would play it for you all today because I've been enjoying this for a while, and why not share it? That's what this section of the show is for.
Jednog dana kada odeš i više nismo bliski, tvoje lice biće jedino o čemu mislim. Jednog dana kada odeš i nećeš mi se vratit, ne misliš li valjda da te neću shvatit. We'll be right back.
devojčicama teškom sigura, stvarno volim njenu blistavu kosu.
That song is so good, I think I'm gonna have pizza for dinner.
So I'm gonna eat salad. But you have fun with your pizza, I'm jealous.
Actually, I already know I'm having pizza for dinner, so...
Oh, lucky guy.
All right, Steve, where can people best follow the Resignators online? How can they keep informed about all you got going on?
Well, we have all those typical... we're on Facebook, it's just the Resignators. Instagram, it's the Resignators Ska. And of course, on our Bandcamp page is a great place to buy a track if you like, or check out any of the tunes. We got a lot of YouTube stuff up as well on the YouTube channel. All those typical places, short of getting on a plane and flying halfway around the world. It's only a 16-hour flight from LA, by the way. So, yeah.
That's like
when we leave here to fly to LA, we usually leave 11 in the morning and we get there 9 a.m. in the morning the same day. So that's a trick.
That is.
Coming back is not as easy. We miss a day.
Yeah, that's so. Time is fun. It sure is. And yeah. All right, listeners, thank you of course for listening. This week, we appreciate your support always. And, you know, if you want to hear more from Steve, because we're going to chat, we're going to have a bonus episode, you can sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. And some may say that we're bearing the lead because we didn't talk to Steve about it. He did briefly mention it. Don't know if you picked up on it. Steve was in Gwar. So we're going to talk about that on the Patreon episode. So if you know anything about Gwar, it's going to be interesting. So sign up for the bonus episodes. All right, listeners, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. And until next time,
keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.